We go together like
peas and carrots.
The Peas and Carrots Podcast, sharing life from our piece of the vegetable patch. Brian and Kayla Sanders.
Welcome to the Peas and Carrots Podcast.
Hi, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Brian. And welcome to this week's edition of, a little bit of silliness, a little bit of seriousness, that kind of stuff. And I don't know why y'all miss some of the best stuff because, again, right before I hit the record button, you were fighting your chair in the studio.
It got stuck.
How did it get? Baby, it's a flat floor.
Well, there's this
look at you in your little tennis shoes.
This is table leg, so yeah.
You and your cute little tennis shoes today.
They're so uncomfortable, but anyway.
Why are they uncomfortable?
I don't know.
I wear them slip-on Skechers. You know, I don't have to bend over to put on my
shoes.
Those
things are comfortable.
I'm telling you. I don't cut off my...
So what's up in the world of peas and carrots?
Well, over the weekend, we watched The Crown, Season 5. We completed that.
And now since
you're British, I'll let you go first before I give my American viewpoint on this.
Well, I learned some things.
And listen, I'm not saying you're not American. But we
dang did. Straight. But I worked hard for my citizenship. We should share that story one week.
But we did whoop y'all up in Yorktown.
Just stop. I learned things, and it did connect some dots for me about the royal family. I also sensed that they were trying to paint Diana in a very favorable light, and the queen was being painted in a very negative light. And I wanted to take away the highlights for me were things that I learned about the queen, like family legacy stuff, and some of it was really cool. And I don't want to spoil it in case people haven't watched it and they want to.
6 months now.
But there were certain things I'd always heard, snippets of her relationship with Philip and things with now King Charles. But it was awkward to me that it's almost as if they had this angelic view of Diana.
That was going to be my point. I felt that they were too sympathetic toward her, that she was...
And she had her own...
issues.
Yeah.
But in The Crown Season 5... In my opinion, Diana is painted as innocent, and the rest of the family, they're painted as
demonized.
Yes.
Yeah. I will say, I know that when William married Catherine, there was a season where she was not in the public eye. And one of the things that was said...
Who, Catherine?
Mm-hmm. The queen wanted her to be prepared. And so there was a season where Catherine was being...
Prepared for what?
For public life. For the media scrutiny and all of it. And I do think the queen learned some hard lessons from Diana. And so take it for what it's worth. There's good and bad. But there's also another lesson in this for me. We are just viewing someone else's life. We're not living it. And everything that happened behind closed doors was just that. And so we can speculate all we want to. And truth is, some of this is editorialized.
Yeah, some of it is a lot of speculation, private conversations.
And so, yeah, there are tapes. There are actual tapes of conversations.
I did not realize some of that.
Oh, yes. We will not bring that up.
Some of it is very embarrassing.
It's very racy. So, yeah.
There's a good... I don't hear that word often.
But, well, I'm glad.
Ooh. Let's get a spot of tea because this is very racy.
But it was... Yeah, it was eye-opening. The final season is being filmed now, and they do actually have characters that will play the roles of...
How can that be the final season?
They're ending it with the next.
Why?
Just wrapping it up.
You mean to tell
It'll
me...
It'll have William and Catherine.
I'm going to say something. Harry and Meghan have given them at least 3 more seasons worth of material. I am very upset about this.
Oh, well, I thought you knew.
Don't you think they ought to cover her death and Philip's death?
Well, they may. They may. They
well,
just
gonna
they
be
may
30 episode long season.
Well, there you go.
Well, so, all right.
Moving on now that you're all fired up.
I feel better.
So we had a thing this past weekend.
Mm-hmm. Y'all.
I nearly killed you.
Yes, she literally. Literally, she,
I wasn't trying.
Okay, so
Your Honor, it was an accident.
Bring the backhoe. We got to move a body. So I've been having for the last year different allergic reactions to stuff, and I'd have hives and whelps. And one time I even had trouble breathing, and so now I have to carry an EpiPen. And we thought it was peanuts. Okay.
Oh, it was.
It was peanuts. Okay, yeah. But. So I made an appointment with an allergist. So, and I had to stop taking my, I take a daily Zyrtec, which is an antihistamine. So I'm off of that for a week before I go see the allergist, and I'm just reacting to everything. I mean.
But they needed you to come off that so that when they did your allergy testing.
Get an accurate reading.
You would get an accurate, yeah.
And you could see, I mean, and my hands became blistered.
Oh.
And,
you have sores all over your hand where you've scratched.
On my side and things like that. Anyway, I have an appointment Monday morning, this past Monday morning with the allergist. Now, Sunday morning, this is the day before, we wake up and I've had a, I have all these reactions going on.
We had gone to, we'd gone out on a date Saturday. We'd gone to dinner. Something that you ate for dinner started this.
Okay.
So you woke up. Covered in hives,
yeah.
Head to toe.
So, Miss K says, "B, I don't want to go to church today." She says, "Hang on." She says, "I don't think we should go to church today. We need to stay home." She says, "I'd like to keep an eye on you and kind of and,
because you were just itching constantly, so you kept taking oat baths.
But
and,
we needed to run to Walmart to get some stuff to like cook that day." I said, "Okay." So we go to Walmart. Now, before we go to Walmart, she fixes us breakfast, and she fixes eggs over easy. We go to Walmart. We get in Walmart. I'm in there 10 minutes, and my hands swell up to probably twice their size. Mm-hmm. They turn red, and
your hives grow to twice the size that they were.
And I'm itching like crazy. Yeah. So we have no idea what's going on. I have the allergy test.
Monday.
What comes back?
You're allergic to eggs.
Yeah, I'm allergic.
And I have cooked you eggs and biscuits on Sunday morning.
So they tested me for 50 things, and 49 came back positive. So eggs, all types of nuts, peanuts, sesame, mold, mildew.
You name it, you're allergic to
grass,
it.
Every tree in the continental United States, I'm
allergic
to. I've
always teased you, jokingly with much affection, that you are my delicate flower.
You said I'm your delicate
flower. But you really are.
I really am.
So what's next?
Well, they're busting up how I take medication to try and help with different allergies. I have an app now on my phone.
We're reading labels on everything. Oh,
and that app will allow me to, like, scan a product. It'll tell me if I can have it or not.
Yeah. Because you're allergic to every kind of nut. And
people, too. Eggs. And I can't have mayonnaise anymore. I can't have ranch dressing anymore. It's crazy.
And you'll be starting allergy shots soon?
Yeah, starting in May. I'll be starting allergy shots to try and help me. But there's one funny little anecdote. This... I'm sitting there in this little room with my shirt off and my back's toward the door. And there's 50 little prods on my back where they've poked me. And it takes 15 minutes. So this nurse and this medical student have left. And 15 minutes later, they walk in. The nurse goes, "Whoa." I was like, "Okay." She goes, "Wow, you're allergic to everything." So,
yeah.
So there you go. So that's the story. I'm alive. I'm happy to be alive. But I just be honest that food feels like a big enemy right now. And I'm a little bit afraid of it.
So. And I'm not cooking any more eggs.
Well.
For you.
Praise God. I'd like to stick around a little bit. Habit stacking.
So what do we mean by this?
Habit stacking, for me, what it means is that you want to either get rid of a bad habit or you want to start a new habit. So you have to stack the things that you want to do and repeat them over and over and over again until you develop a new habit. How'd I do?
So it's like this. You want to eat less junk food.
You know how to do that?
Looking at myself.
You know how you do that? You get an allergy.
Well, or if you're me, you make healthier options easily accessible. So for myself, I've made sure I don't buy a pack of cookies. I buy apples and grapes and bananas that I will grab one of those instead of a cookie. Mm. That's an example of habit stacking.
For me, habit stacking would be also exercising. It'd be exercising regularly. How do I want to say this? You get in a habit of going to the gym certain days of the week. You get in a habit of riding an exercise bike or taking a walk or something like that, and you do it repeatedly. This is a trick that I try to do is that you try to like reward yourself for doing this. Like you do it for like 2 or 3 weeks and you can get a new book.
Okay.
Or you do this for 2 or 3 weeks and you get to have pasta or something like that.
Cool. So. For me, it looks like I want to continue the habit of going to the gym. So to remove as many hurdles as possible, I'm going to lay out my clothes the night before.
Mm.
So I have one less excuse for getting up and getting out the door. So that helps me. Maybe you're a person that really wants to develop a quiet time.
Mm.
And that's where you get up before everyone else in the house and you have a few minutes either just to think or to start reading your Bible or to journal. So what I started doing is I admit I have a devotional that I use that's on my phone, but I will brew a cup of coffee. So I will get my coffee and then grab my phone. And before I allow myself to go to any apps or check any emails or go to our project management system for work, I sit with my coffee and I read through my devotional and spend some quiet time. So I'm stacking two things together. I'm doing my quiet time, but I'm rewarding myself with coffee.
Mm. Every morning, you use the She Reads Truth app. I mm-hmm. use the He Reads Truth app. And I heard, this has been years ago, I heard a pastor say, allow your quiet time to become a habit. And that's a huge debate, because if something's a habit, it kind of becomes rote. It kind of becomes passé. But at the same time, when you make journaling and reading scripture and like doing your devotional a habit, understand this. You're going to go through a seasons or multiple seasons where things seem dry.
Sure.
But know this, that those seasons are building you.
Yeah.
That they're putting truth in you.
And be careful not to, with all of this, be careful not to put such impossible metrics on yourself.
Yes.
Because I loved something that our trainer said, and this is really resonating with me. Let's say that you forget to brush your teeth one night before you go to bed. You're not going to throw your toothbrush away. You're going to get up the next morning and you're going to brush your teeth and you're going to go about your day. With all of these new habits that you might be trying to form, if you, quote, fall off the wagon, allow yourself the grace that happened, and then just pick it back up and keep moving forward.
I think what his point is to us is not to get stuck in that failure.
Sure.
Get back up.
Exactly.
Get back and just keep on going. Because I am prone to get stuck in the failure. Well, you know, I screwed this up. I'm a failure.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit here. My life sucks. That's me.
And then you'll never develop a habit.
Correct.
But
Are there some different habits that, like, you're trying to develop right now? Are there any new habits? And you weren't expecting this question.
For me, less time scrolling on my phone. I really want to be intentional.
But you share some great stuff with me.
But I really want to be intentional about how much time I'm spending on my phone. So I have started adopting these. I have screen time alerts. You tease me for this, but every evening at a certain point, my phone goes to sleep mode.
But you get an alert that says bedtime.
But it has two purposes. One, because I'm not an adult and I'm a night owl. And so I need something to tell me it's wind down time. It's time for you to get ready to go to bed soon so that you get your full night's sleep. The other benefit of this is once my phone goes to sleep mode, I'm not getting notifications anymore unless it's an emergency. And I'm not getting that constant hit of what my phone gives during the day. So I have created my own parameters that I'm walking away from my phone, basically. The other part of this is I have started mentally uninstalling apps for a period of time.
What's that mean?
Well, on the weekends, I'm not spending as much time on my phone. So I am doing less social media on the weekend because I want to be more present with people. And I also want to utilize the time in ways that is not spent scrolling on my phone. Because the truth is, my phone is something that I'm tied to a lot during the week for my job. And so the tendency some evenings is just to waste time catching up on Instagram or going to Pinterest.
And that's a way to check
out. It feels like there's so many other things I could be doing. I could read a book. I could watch a movie with you. I could have a conversation with you. So that is a habit that I've worked really hard on this year. And frustratingly for you, at times you'll ask me, where's your phone? And I have no idea.
That aggravates me. For me, it would be reading more books, which means less time on my phone and less time on TV. I find that for me, it's easier to build a good habit if it's something I already enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I don't enjoy asparagus a lot. I don't enjoy Brussels sprouts.
Not a fan.
Okay. So it's easier for me to build a habit on things I like instead of things that I don't like, but things that can be helpful.
Yeah.
So,
and for someone who may say, I don't have a lot of time to read, carry a book with you. A friend once told me this, and it is game-changing. Carry a book with you wherever you go. And before you pick up your phone...
Don't you think those people are weird, though?
No.
You're sitting in a public place.
Well, a lot of times you have a bag or a book bag with you. So just have a book with you that you can pick it up instead of picking up your phone. Like while you're waiting or you're between meetings or something like that, you've got your book. So I recommend that. It was a game changer for me.
I don't know. I look suspicious on people who have a book out in public. That's just.
I don't. I think it's awesome.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
I don't. It just seems.
And this one, I'm going to be honest, I have not yet adopted this because mornings are a thing. But for those of you who are wanting to get up earlier, the trick is place your clock or your phone, if your phone is your alarm clock, in a place where you will have to get out of bed to turn it off. I'm not there yet, but I do know friends who've done this, and it's been pivotal for them in developing this habit. So there you go.
Getting up doesn't bother me.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a morning person. I just wake up and I'm good to go.
Yes, you are.
I said I'd like to get up at 4:15 or so.
Well, you go right ahead. Just be quiet.
Well, that's why I lay in bed, because I know I'm not very quiet.
So. And you admitted it.
Stop it. We're not going. Letting go.
Let it go. Let it go.
Is that from Frozen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want you to pretend you have a wheelbarrow and it's full of bricks.
Oh, that's heavy.
You're so funny. As you navigate your daily life, you keep adding bricks in your wheelbarrow. Eventually, you may not be able to push your wheelbarrow anymore because you've got so much weight that it won't move. No matter how hard you push, no matter how much you pull, it's just stuck. What bricks do you perhaps in your life need to let go of because you aren't meant to be carrying them?
Can I start?
Sure, go for it.
Trying to make everybody happy.
Ooh.
And I put all these people in a wheelbarrow. Or let me say, I put everybody's happiness in a wheelbarrow.
Mm.
And I try to carry that. And I try to be...
their expectations, maybe. Yeah,
and I try to make all these people... And it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible for me to do. And so I need to take... Yeah, I have to... That's something I'm working on. That is a big deal for me because it's something that it's conditioned in me that if, like, you're not happy, well, then, well, not you personally, but anybody's around me is not happy, then I feel like that it's a disappointment.
You carry the weight of their opinion or expectation of you.
And so I interpret it a certain way.
What about maybe an overstuffed home? We all have so many things in our homes that we couldn't tell you the last time we used it or the last time we needed it. And yet, a really honest look at ourselves, we just keep collecting and we keep acquiring stuff. And this is something you and I have been, and we've mentioned this multiple times on the podcast, but we've been working really hard to let go of things. We just did our kitchen not long ago, and there was stuff in there that we were gifted 30 years ago when we got married.
We've never used it. Never
it was still in the box. So we gave it to the thrift store because someone else could actually use it.
Yeah.
But we have closets that are overflowing. We have garages that we can't even find things in.
Let it go.
And just the freedom I have felt in our home, our physical space, with less is so much more. So, yeah.
I would tell everybody also that you need to get rid of a full calendar. You need to have margin to live life. You need to have margin to play. You need to have margin to think. You need to have margin to make memories. If all you're doing is working and doing activities, you need to stop it because you need to invest in yourself, invest in your spouse, invest in your... in your kids, and have margin there.
What about your own unrealistic goals? Have you set yourself up for failure?
Yes. Oh, I'm sitting here. I thought you were talking to me.
Maybe you have, but are your goals so unrealistic that no matter how much you work and strive and toil, there's no way you can meet that goal? So perhaps taking it and letting go of that and creating some mini metrics that you can have more wins. Mm. You may get there faster with those, but it will fuel you to keep going.
That's good.
I mean, let's say that I actually do want to get to the point where I can lift 30 pounds at the gym. I certainly can't do that right now.
You probably could.
No. I started with 5, and I'm up to 10. But I'm celebrating the fact that I'm up to 10 because one day it might look like I can use hand weights that are 20. But you've got to be okay with the mini goals because otherwise some of these bigger goals, and I'm not saying never have a big goal, but is it something that is going to keep you inspired? Or are you the kind of person perhaps that needs more motivation? You need to celebrate along the way.
For me, in my weight loss journey, I know where I want to be.
Sure.
And that's a big goal. but I have to celebrate every time I lose 2 pounds or 4 pounds or something like that. So I think that's so for me, that's exactly what I do. So, do you ever own, not you, Miss Kayla, but maybe you need to take out of your wheelbarrow a project that someone else should be leading.
Mm.
And this is for...
I have done that before, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
because you can't rescue the world. You can't rescue everybody all the time.
Mm-mm.
And so take that project off of your hands.
Yeah.
Let them fail. They will learn from that particular failure, and that they will get better. Will it frustrate you that it falls behind schedule? Yes. Will it hurt you to watch the team fail? Yes. But they will get better because of it.
And then again, they may take it and make it better than I ever could have.
There's that.
And I have seen that, and it's beautiful. Mm. It's possible that in our quest to be great at everything, we're good at very little.
There's that.
Because we're trying to do too many projects. Mm. And this is where you also figure out, I think, and this is a whole nother topic for another day, but what are your passion points? Because maybe it's cookies. Something that you need to let go of because you're not passionate about it.
Well, I'm passionate about cookies.
Yeah, they're not passionate about you, though. No. You're allergic to them. So
stop it.
Just saying. Things we learned.
But she's right, because if you learn what you're passionate about, you are more likely to pursue those things and to see others grow in those things than you are with things that you're not passionate about.
Yeah.
So, fun times.
So, look at your pile of bricks. Which ones are you meant to build with?
Which ones are you meant to?
Which ones are you meant to give away? So, there we go.
Yay.
Let's end today with a funny story. And all names are being changed.
Okay.
So that we don't incriminate anyone.
Let me talk about.
But you had a rather funny experience at the doctor's office the other day.
So I'm sitting in my allergist office, and it's a pretty large waiting room. And so I'm sitting there, and there are people. There's like 20 people, and there's like maybe 50 chairs in this room. And so I'm sitting there, and this elderly lady comes in, and she sits right next to me after she checks out. There's like a ton of other empty chairs across the room, but she comes and sits right next to me. Well, I'm on my phone doing stuff. Well, I get about 5-10 minutes later, this little elderly man comes in, checks in. He goes, sits across the room. Now, y'all, I'm talking a good 20, 30 feet across the room. And he can look at her. He's looking at us. Because I'm like, he's looking over this direction. What's going on? And then he looks over, and he's like, hey there, good looking. And she giggles and that kind of stuff. Well, he starts talking to her from across the room like this.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, my wife's been dead for 10 years and been a long time since I held the hand of a beautiful woman. And I'm like, OMG, is this really happening? Is this really happening? I mean, this dude's at least 70. She's 70. Is this really going to go? Is this really going down here? Like, is he really spitting game? And she looks up at him and she says, as handsome as you are, it shouldn't be a problem for you. Holy crap. Well, he gets up, walks across the room, and sits down next to her. He introduces himself. She introduces him. She introduces herself. Regardless to say, they had a date. He asked her out on a date.
Yep.
They were going to Texas Roadhouse the next day at 4:30. Old man, 70-something years old, scored a date at the allergist office.
Don't get any ideas after I'm gone.
Hey, y'all. Did you know that we give away 2 free coffee mugs each week? They're the Peas and Carrots coffee mug. Maybe this older couple that met at the allergy office. You know, maybe they're.
Might be at IHOP next week.
Cracker Barrel.
So here's how you can get a coffee mug. Go to our website. Look for the trivia button.
You click that. And you can answer the question. And that question this week is?
What food could you not live without?
So that's the question. What food could you not live without? To answer that, you go to our website, peasandcarrotspodcast.com. What do you do once you get there?
So just, again, click that trivia button, answer that question. You can also search Peas and Carrots Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Visit our website at peasandcarrotspodcast.com. And when you do, please don't forget to subscribe. I need some coffee to the podcast.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search the Peas and Carrots Podcast. Please do not submit any dating ideas or something like that.
Well, apparently you're getting all the help you need.
Well, I don't need any help.
There we go.
For more about the Peas and Carrots Podcast and to reach out to Brian and Kayla, visit peasandcarrotspodcast.com. Good to Go is another encouraging podcast you'll love. Join host Christian Studer weekly as he tracks down people doing good things for others. You'll be inspired and reminded that there's always something good going on when you search Good to Go, wherever you get your podcasts.